And welcome to what we're going to dub as the first episode of the Massive Report for the brand new season. We did record an episode last week. There were some technical difficulties. It was our practice episode. We'll just call it that, and you will have the opportunity at some point when I can figure out how to clean up the audio to listen to that and hear our takes on the draft, none of which were correct. My name is Matt Goshard. Welcome to the Massive Report brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company. Also, thank you very much to all of our Kickstarter people that helped us with that. The big Kickstarter party going down at Land Grant a week from Wednesday. And we will be systematically throughout the first couple of episodes here thanking you all for your generosity in that process as per the contract. We'll also be contacting anyone who donated over the $50 increment to participate, as that was one of the prizes as well. And you should have already gotten the information about your t-shirts / tote bags, which will be fantastic. My name is Matt Goshard. Molly Thomas is hitting the buttons. I'm joined tonight by Morgan Hughes, Jim Bach, and Justin Bell. What's up, gentlemen? How you doing?
Hi, Matt. It's really good to be here.
Well, I am so happy to be back. It's been a long time.
It really has. It really has. You're finally out of jail.
Yeah, I know. A parole is a wonderful thing.
Congratulations on that, Jim.
Parole is a wonderful thing.
The parole committee has made yet another terrible decision.
Yeah, the fact that I have actually held public office in Chicago for 25 years really actually hurt me this time.
I could see that. I could definitely see that.
Do you mean Chicago or Bridgeview? You need to be specific when we're on a Major League Soccer-themed podcast.
No, I mean Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. Mike Royko land.
Okay.
Justin, how are you tonight?
I'm okay.
Good. You enjoying that bottle of grappa?
I haven't opened it yet, but I will. Good. Enjoy it, I'm sure.
I think that's Justin Bell in the wine coma is going to be a thing, possibly next week. I'm not 100% sure. A lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to get started right away with the MLS, the Major League Soccer Super Draft, where the Columbus Crew traded down to the 19th overall pick from the 14th overall pick. Huge difference.
Yeah,
in
five points
the super
difference.
Draft. Yeah,
yes.
Five positions different. But we did pick up Chris Klute from the Colorado Rapids, which we got that. We also got the first round pick, and we got an undisclosed amount of allocation money.
We
sent them allocation money.
Yeah, we sent them.
Well, then you know, here's the deal. Then Patrick Murphy words things weird on the thing, because that's not the way I read that.
But 90% sure that's what happened.
Looks like first round selection to Columbus, along with defender Chris Klute in exchange. Oh, yeah, no, then I just can't read.
Patrick has learned transitive verbs yet.
Yeah, no, I'm just mildly illiterate. That's really...
sorry, Patrick.
Yeah, sorry, Patrick.
I don't think you can be moderately... What did you say, moderately?
I said mildly.
You can't be that either, illiterate. You're either illiterate or you're not, and you are illiterate.
I've met quite a few people, actually, who are mildly illiterate.
No,
lies.
Yeah.
Lies.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't hear you, hon, when you say that.
I take offense to that. I'm fully literate.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm fully literate.
You're fully illiterate? Because you're from West Virginia?
Yeah. I am from Kentucky, and don't you forget it.
Yeah. You should know that.
So, this guy, 57 appearances, 55 starts with the Rapids, led the team in assists in 2013.
That's was the big one. That's
defender,
the big thing.
Yeah, was Defender of the Year in 2013, and was in the January camp for the national team last year. I want to get your thoughts on this guy. We'll start with you, Jim.
So, okay, pardon me if I'm a little ignorant of this sport, but... So, assists is when you pass the ball to somebody who scores the goals, right?
Yes.
Okay. So...
Molly, can you check that, actually?
Let's get a fact check on that.
Let's go ahead as if that is what that is.
I don't want to, like, pretend that I know what I'm talking about, because, you know, that would mean that I'm acting like I do all the other times in my life.
Yeah, that's fair.
But my understanding of the Crew, having seen, I think... them play every time they played last season, was the problem isn't actually with them passing the ball to the person who scores the goal. The problem is with the person who scores the goal.
Yeah.
So, once again, and I'm reserving my words because I don't want to get angry, or I don't want to get too angry this early in the podcast because I have a lot of booze left to drink, but what I would really like is the guy who puts the goal, puts the ball in the goal.
Yeah.
I think that's the way that you win the game, right?
Isn't that what Kai Kamara is supposed to be?
Kai Kamara is like your fling with an ex-girlfriend. I mean, you know, it's like, you know when you like break up with somebody and then you see them in a bar and you're drunk 6 months later and you're like, you know, I remember, man, she was really hot when she did that.
No, except it's when...
That's Kai Kamara.
That would be your ex-girlfriend dating like six guys afterwards and looking way better with them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Morgan has been in the same situation I have. Yeah. It's just his ex-girlfriends are much younger than mine.
But mine is literally watching Kai Kamara after he left the crew with six other teams.
I mean, I don't... So, you know, I don't want to say... Because I understand, you know, I have very strong authority that we are going to sign Miroslav Klose. But somebody's really, really, really going to have to actually put the ball in the goal. That's the point of the sport. The point of the sport isn't getting the ball to the guy who actually shoots the ball over the goal by 20 yards, because I could do that.
No. Could you?
Yeah, I've done it many times. I could do it when it's mathematically almost impossible to shoot the ball outside the goal. You're so close to the goal. Yeah.
All right. Justin, your thoughts on the Clute signing.
The Clute?
Morgan said Clute before the podcast started. Now I'm now saying Clute.
Yeah.
Doug Flutie. Give me your thoughts on Doug Flutie.
Well, when you...
All-star in the CFL and the NFL. Who can say that? And a 5'10" starting quarterback.
Justin, please bail us out of this.
When it was signed, you know, I work at the same place Matt does. Let's just get that out there. I know.
Yeah. Tracks for custom printing.
Yeah.
So, call me if you need T-shirts.
So I'm in the middle of working, which is what I do. And Matt,
Bazinga.
Yeah, and Matt said, you got an alert on your phone, and you said, who's Chris Clute?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, he's a football player.
Yeah.
You know. Which is weird that I said football player instead of soccer.
Yeah.
Soccer player. And then you said, well, you know, the Chris just signed Chris Clute. And my literal reaction was, is this real? It's a big deal. This is a really great signing for the crew.
Oh, so I'm just a totally ignorant drunk guy.
No. You're not. I mean, I think you're focused on something else, which you should be right. I mean, we need to score goals. That's no doubt. But fullback is, we need depth. I think Waylon Francis is a very good left back. I think he proved at the end of last year that he's not reliable all the time.
He's also somebody who plays for his national team is going to be gone.
Yeah.
A little bit.
He can at the drop of a hat do something very stupid and be gone for three games. And you need somebody to fill in for him. You need depth.
Yeah.
And Chris Clute might start at left back. He might be Waylon Francis. He also might be able to play right back. Look, you know, when he almost made the World Cup team.
Yeah.
Klinsmann likes him. He likes him a lot. I think this is a guy who's going to figure in the national team over the next couple of years, and there's going to be some big things happening and for the national team. And I think, this is a guy I remember him playing for the Atlanta Silverbacks not that long ago,
mm-hmm.
and he's made some strides, some big strides in the last 2 years. He reminds me of a lot of like Tony Chani or Justin Miram or Ethan Finley, guys who are kind of finding who they are as professional football soccer players, and that's who Berhalter likes.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they were able to get him for the as little cost as they did is shocking to me.
Yeah,
but they did a great job getting him, and so whether he plays right back, left back, whatever, it's a really good signing.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this. I think the crew, forget about the draft picks.
Yeah.
I mean, last week was a success because of that. So.
Well, sorry, Morgan. I was just going to say.
For what?
For interrupting right as you were going to talk.
I'm
sort of a Debbie Downer when it comes to the draft anyway. I think that the draft, unless you get to pick the Herman Trophy winner.
Who I think went like 14th this draft.
Yeah, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Or 12th or something.
Wasn't 14th supposed to be our pick?
Isn't
no, we were.
I'm just kidding.
Were we 14th?
Yeah, I think we were. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
hasn't the league gotten to the point now where
we don't need a draft?
Where the draft is really just sort of a second thought?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because we're talking about Major League Soccer, and people are routinely traded for draft picks, a la Chad Marshall. If we didn't have this meaningless thing that is just complete crap, they wouldn't have meaningless crap to trade for good players.
So why do we have a draft? Wow. So we can pretend that it's important.
So you can transfer Chad Marshall from the corporate division of Columbus to the corporate division of Seattle and go, hey, we got draft picks for it. Yeah. Nudge, nudge. And then he goes around, you know, whomever he is, and nudges everybody in the front offices of those two teams with his elbow, and they go, I've seen it. It happens.
Yeah, it's a true fact.
I think the thing is with the draft is draft day provides three different things. One,
number one.
This is a really important one. It gives everyone a place to go and hang out and get drunk and get really cool hotel rooms.
With trains?
With train cars sometimes in Indianapolis. I mean, like, that's a real thing. It's the national coaches soccer convention, and so everyone gets together and hangs out. So I think there's that aspect.
And you can't get value in the draft, because you absolutely can.
Right.
But you can also get that value from those same exact players if there were no draft.
Well, yeah.
That's
essentially the draft.
We could do a blind allocation.
Yeah.
We could do an envelope draft.
The draft is free labor. I mean, like, free opportunity to sign labor.
Well, yeah, Don Garber said this past week, he's like, we need to have a method for people to get into the league. And this is number two, right? Is that it gives college soccer a role in the developmental process, right? MLS now validates college soccer by saying, you've developed these players, we're going to select them. I mean, and some of these kids, look, there was a lot of, when you watched it, these are kids are getting jobs, you know what I mean? I mean, like, when I got out of college, I didn't have a job. I mean, these kids have jobs now, and so it's really important to them. So there's that role too. But the other role too, I think, is like what Morgan was saying. I think you meant it a little bit. Is it does give? It's something that you can trade.
Yes.
It makes it seem like these are actual teams that are.
It's like Shirty Bucks.
I just really think that in 2015, signing a rookie at 21 years of age is a little.
It's weird.
Unreal. It's weird.
When
it's,
you see a player. Last night, I got to see a little bit of the U-20 team, and you saw Roman Gall score two goals for the Crew and looked very good. And
why did we kill the patron saint known as Andres Mendoza for only scoring from the spot? But then we're like, Roman Gall scored two goals on penalty kicks. He's the next greatest thing.
I
had to be consistent.
Yeah,
but I'd never kill
him. How much were we paying Andres Mendoza to only score goals from the spot versus...
But he didn't only score goals from the spot. He scored goals elsewhere.
He had one of the...
I don't remember that.
That 4-0 victory over Colorado in 2011, he was incredible. He was one... I will never...
You know that I'm not insulting Andres Mendoza, because I think he's the greatest.
I know.
I live with him.
I agree.
No.
He doesn't know that yet.
but also, Roman Gall, his first penalty kick... was just filthy.
Was it better than John Terry? Was it better than John Terry slipping on wet grass?
Tony Long's back there nodding.
Yeah, Tony Long and I were talking about this earlier today at work.
Yeah, yes. But he kind of paused in mid-stride.
Oh, yeah, he's doing that thing that we murdered.
And then after he scored, he sort of stared down the goalkeeper, and he licked his lips in this kind of awkward way and held his hands out. And it was...
Wait, Roman Gall did this?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
he's what, like 14?
Yeah.
Like 12. 20.
I think he's 19. I think he's 18. Like
he's on the U-11s.
19 going on 20.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that I have socks older than this guy.
Yeah, you probably do. That shirt that you're wearing is older than him.
He is
so smooth playing. And, you know, part of the problem that you saw in the last few games is that that team... it's made up of a lot of very good players who don't really know how to play on the same side, and now they're sort of figuring it out. And the more that they figure it out, the better they are becoming as a team and the better they're becoming as players. And you can see Roman Gaul making big strides just in the last week.
Yeah.
It's impressive, and I hope that we're able to see him play before the Crew move or MLS moves him on to play for Everton
Toronto.
Or someplace.
Well, yeah, Toronto. Good thing we don't have 36 midfielders. Yeah.
Before he gets traded to Toronto. I want to bring Tony in real quick. Just well, go ahead, go ahead.
I was
going
to say that this is really good for us because the way that the league has set it up now is that I think that there are so many teams that make the playoffs now that I think that the pickup team that I play with on Tuesdays at 4:30 might actually make the playoffs this season.
Yeah,
you might. There are many slots.
At least the quarterfinal of the U.S. Open Cup. Yeah. We're not 100% sure which. I want to bring, because Tony was talking about this earlier. By the way, that's an amazing hoodie you're wearing,
yeah.
Tony.
Yeah, I got it from Traxler Tees. It's great. I don't know if you know anyone that works there or anything, but man, they do nice work.
Amazing embroidery work. I'm just saying. That's pretty sweet.
I wish we had a camera.
Yeah. But no, tell me, because you had some thoughts on that penalty.
Yeah, it was that was some guile for a guy that age to actually start, stop, and pivot on his left foot for a second, and then go through and send the keeper the wrong way. Yeah. And as Justin was saying, it was that whole sort of attitude. And then he was touching on the badge, and so I'm like, it's just
he's
great.
Mario Balotelli, but he's actually got talent.
There is a swagger about this kid that's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
especially from someone that might be French. Yeah, that's a lot of swagger from someone from France.
might be. He chose the right side.
Well,
wait. Jeremy Menez, Paul Pogba, both French, both tearing up Serie A.
He really has that kind of feel.
Yeah.
It's a real slick.
And they play again on Wednesday at 5:30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has a je ne sais quoi.
And on that,
sans les mots qui vont très bien.
Oui, oui, monsieur l'ami. Voulez-vous voyager?
And on that note, we're going to take a break. We'll come back a little bit more and talk about the other two guys we picked up on draft day. This is the Massive Report. This portion of the Massive Report podcast brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company, located at 424 West Town Street, Columbus, Ohio. Land Grant Brewing Company specializes in some pretty awesome beer, and you should check it out. I highly recommend the Greenskeeper Session IPA. Land Grant Brewing Company, it's tasty beer.
Other than the address, how is that different than what I said off the cuff?
Because I didn't stumble through it. That's it. And I talked about a beer that was really good there. Yeah.
I didn't stumble through mine.
Yeah, nope. This is all going in the commercial.
Tonight's episode of the Massive Report is brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company. Your finest beer selection since this year. I mean, they just opened. Maybe last year. No one's sure. All that being said, they have some delicious brews on tap. We highly recommend you getting your sweet ass down there and trying out a couple cups of booze. Land Grant Brewing Company.
They're on West Town Street.
Cure for dyslexia since 2014.com.
I thought it was 2041.
Oh!
Oh! Yeah. This portion of the Massive Report is brought to you from the future. Future.
Are we recording this?
Yes, we are. We're recording all this. All
right, here we go.
This is all happening.
Morgan.
Section. Section 2? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
You should start it now, because we have a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah. So now we're going to shut up for a second, and then the bump will come on. And we're back at segment 2 of the Massive Report, brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company, live at Hendox. Come down every Monday night. Willie's down here getting you drunk. That's pretty much what happens.
Wait,
there.
There's Willie's down here?
Yeah. Little Willie won't go home. You can't push Willie around. Willie won't go.
Yeah.
So the Crew did draft two other guys in the Major League Soccer Super Duper Infinity Draft.
Draft.com. Yeah.
Sergio Campbell with the 19th pick. He's from UConn. And Sage
sounds like he's half Argentine, half Scottish, is from Canada.
No, UConn.
Oh, University of Connecticut.
Yeah. Yes, not University of Canada.
Not the UConn.
Not the UConn.
He's not out there prospecting.
Not the Upper Northern Territories. And then Sergei
It really is pronounced Saggy.
Saggy, okay.
Saggy.
Saggy Levari?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We'll say that. With the 14th pick in the second round, he's from Cal State Northridge. Justin.
And it's huge.
Apparently he's huge, according to our producer. He's 6'4". So,
So not just part of him, all of him is huge.
Yes, he's
He's a very large man.
The thing I notice is they're both going to take up international roster spots, which is something that we traditionally give to FC Dallas for nothing.
Well,
that's so true.
So what you're saying this year we're going to give international roster spots to FC Dallas for players who suck.
I don't think we're going to be able to. We're going to use them.
We're no longer related to them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes, they're not our big brother anymore. No.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Everything's changed, hasn't it?
Yeah. It has. Things have changed quite a bit.
Yeah. We now use international roster spots for draft unproven draft picks instead of...
Well, this is assuming, of course, that either one of these guys makes a team.
Yeah.
I mean, you would assume that Sergio would.
Yeah, your first-round pick, you would hope.
Is his name Sergio?
There's that, yeah.
He's probably got luscious hair.
We are bringing in, apparently, a defender.
Yeah.
You know, we need depth. We got George Clooney. And you know that helps, but you think he would? You know,
he married that international lawyer chick, right?
Yep.
Julia Roberts.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Whatever.
I don't know anything about this stuff.
Meg.
But you would think. I mean, if it's going to be Schoenfeld, then it's going to be Kai Kamara, and it's going to be Adam Bedell.
Oh God.
And again, this forward, this Saggy. Which, with a name like that, you think Bob Kraft would have been all over him, and he would have been in a Revs uniform with, you know, whatever, their overall draft pick number one.
Yeah.
Because Bob Kraft is old and stupid and Saggy. That's what the joke is, Matt.
Yeah, no, I got that.
Yeah, we got the joke.
Everyone's going to laugh when they get home later, when they realize how great that was.
I don't think so, but...
But he's 26, right?
Yeah,
and he's
25.
25?
Yeah.
We'll say 26. And he takes up an international roster spot.
So
eventually.
Eventually. That's how that works.
I think that if he does make the team, and of course Greg Berhalter forgets more about soccer every night than I've ever known cumulatively in my entire life.
He's actually a good coach. I hate saying that, but
that's
he's a good coach.
But if he makes the team, it's kind of sad for the prospects of bringing in some big name that we're all like, oh, at any day now we're going to bring in this striker.
Yeah.
So to answer Justin's question.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Okay. Yeah, it is a good question.
It's a good out
for not talking about the draft.
So
the
position of manager in a football club was invented by
Christopher
Columbus.
It was
invented in the 19th century by the owners of teams, because before then there were no managers. There were just the people who owned the team and the people who played for the teams. And what you got were, I know all this because I read a book called The History of the Manager, blah, 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 by Barney Roenick. Really good book.
And it seems like a very long title.
Yeah. It's
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And so basically, owners created a position of the football manager so that they could fire that person. Because what they wanted was someone that they could blame everything that was bad about the team, at least on the field, on a specific person, and then get rid of them to make the fans happy. So that's why when managers get fired, that's their job. That's really their only job. So to say that a manager is doing a good job and shouldn't be fired is antithetical to the entire role of the manager in a football club.
So interesting.
So that's why I loathe to say that our manager is actually, I don't know, not...
Because you're keeping it real,
yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I never thought of it like
but
that.
But do you think that, I mean, obviously I could see that, especially in the late
1800s.
I don't
know, when Robert Garcia
was... In the late 1800s, I could certainly see that, but do you think that, the manager doesn't really have a role now
in no way is what anything that you just said comparable to the role of a soccer coach now. What you just said is one of the most truly disturbing things I've ever heard in my entire life. Everyone here is now dumber for having listened to you.
I have a superfluous nipple.
I award you no points.
I'm sorry,
May
Morgan.
God have mercy on yourself.
No, I'm sorry.
Well, that
Morgan.
Is a role. That is a role. I would say a role of the manager.
Yeah, it is
a role
of the manager. I'm being somewhat facetious, but the point
to
is
catch,
that
to if, catch hell if, is one of his roles.
If a really old cranky asshole like me can't complain about the coach of
yes,
my team,
I see what
then there's
saying.
Something fundamentally wrong with the universe. And I actually think that Greg Berhalter might not be such an idiot after all.
Do you know what's funny?
After all.
This is no, this
that is knowing Jim Bach, that's a ringing endorsement as
yeah,
well.
that's really I like this conversation.
Yeah.
So
I do too.
That's a Justin Bell seal of approval.
No, one of the things that that I got, a message I got this past weekend was from Alex Thomas, friend of the show.
Yes.
And Alex wrote something about he watched the the New York Red Bulls
town hall
meeting, and he
the
was
NYRBFC
yeah
town hall meeting,
and he was saying, like, he was commenting about it, and one of the things he talked about was like how he thought that maybe one of the things that spurred this on was Ali Curtis, the new general manager there, looking for a Greg Berhalter type coach for Red Bulls.
Literally, and Greg Berhalter.
Yeah, though. And I told him, I was like, yeah. Well, you realize that they did contact Greg Berhalter wanting him to go to New York Red Bulls. And from what we hear, it was a very short conversation in which he was asked, would you, something along the lines, like, you know, kind of getting to the point of asking him to come.
Would you take the same amount of money for living in Columbus that to live in New York City?
Yeah,
and Greg
and
Berhalter said,
He
what am I, an idiot? No, I'm not an idiot.
Yeah, he apparently turned him down.
Yeah, good for him.
Look, yeah, great. I mean, this is great that he is getting the attention of these bigger cities and saying he wants to stay in Columbus.
He picked up the phone and the guy on the other end was just like, all right, go with me on this. Truth or dare.
But one of the things that it brings to my mind is the fact that this, I have thought since last year that Berhalter is a... He is clearly a Bruce Arena guy. I mean, he sounds like Bruce Arena when he talks, not just his accent, but the things that he says sounds like Bruce Arena. He played for Bruce Arena. He played in the Galaxy. I think he is the odds. If I were to guess right now, the minute that Bruce Arena retires, they want Greg Berhalter to take his spot. But that might not be this year or next year or 5 years from now.
You know what would be really great is that as soon as L.A. gets to be in first place, but the fans don't like the way they're playing, they'll fire him, and then we get to hire him again.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. But I think that's a good point.
Well,
I see what you're saying, but I mean, it says something about our ownership's hiring practices.
Yeah.
It makes me appreciate what Anthony Precourt has done that much more, that he has hired a guy to not only be his manager, but to direct. To create the direction for the team, it's really impressive.
We're going to need some more data to figure out if that was a one-time thing or that is, you know, his hiring.
Yeah.
So don't you dare put him on a pedestal.
Look what he's done, though. He has gotten rid, in his time, he has gotten rid of Robert Orzia. He has...
He got rid of McCullers.
He got rid of McCullers. He
got rid of the two.
You know, I do have a transcript from that conversation between the Red Bulls and Greg Berhalter.
Beep, 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 beep.
Here we go, everybody.
It was a very
a massive
very,
report exclusive.
Yeah, it was a very. This is the transcript, and it's. You know what? I'm hungover. My knees are killing me. And if you're gonna pull this shit, at least you could have said you were from NYCFC.
By the way,
what's Greg Berhalter?
What the hell is going on with Frank Lampard?
Gotcha.
And apparently he's Jake Taylor from Major League. But other than that, yeah.
Gotcha. The point that I'm trying to make is that I was very skeptical. I'm old and cranky,
yes.
And I hate change, and I was very skeptical.
I'm aware of this. I lived with you for a while.
I know. Yeah.
But you were
with me, and I'm young.
You know what? We should dedicate an entire podcast to me living with you.
Oh God, no! God, no!
But I digress.
Even talking about that topic is the worst thing I've ever heard.
So, but my point is that I was very skeptical about Precourt. I was very skeptical of Berhalter, mm-hmm. And I actually enjoyed I looked forward to going to the games and watching the team play last season.
Yeah.
And part of there's like a tiny little shrunken, shriveled, hard nugget of a heart that I have, and that there's a little glowing ember in that that.
Some say that Jim Boxcar threw three sizes that day.
It's true. And the whole point is that Berhalter actually might not be an imbecile, and his teams might actually play soccer in a way that makes me less than miserable when I go out on a Saturday night and get drunk with my friends.
Jeez,
I think you speak for
a lot of more can you ask?
I think you speak for a lot of longtime crew fans when you say this, because that was one of the things that we.
Thanks for salvaging that little.
No, you're right. We go back to like a year and a half ago when the discussion was all about Guillermo.
Yeah.
We all want to have Guillermo Boscoloto be the manager. And, I was one of the few that said I didn't think that was the best way to go. Now, Greg Berhalter was not on my radar. And when he was hired, it was a surprise. But, at the time, I thought this makes a lot of sense. He seems to be a smart young coach who is going to not only, first of all, he's kind of fits the city and what Precourt was trying to do.
Do you know how he came onto the radar? Frankie Hayduck.
Yeah.
And of course, Frankie Hayduck is the one that told us this, so this could be complete crap.
It's all my fault,
dude. I was just hanging out, and I said to Tony Aces, I was like, yo, you gotta go with my boy, dude, and it was great. We all went crazy. Everybody was just like, yeah, man, let's go.
By the way? Was this at a Fish concert?
I love you, Frankie.
And then Frankie's like, Wild Stallions!
You guys gotta get a new chant in the Nordeca gun. It's gotta go like this. And then everybody just like, we rage out. We get weird, bro. Gotta get weird. Don't pace yourself.
I love you. I love
Frankie's
you.
I love never, you, Morgan. I
Frankie's
love
never
you.
Coming on the show you. Again.
Frankie was just on the show like 5 seconds ago.
Yeah, really.
You mean after that?
Yeah.
After
Morgan's that hair show, grew 3 inches that day.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, rolling this back to the topic of the draft, though.
No!
Forcibly rolling this back to the topic of the draft. Like, if you look at the guy we're talking about, Livari, who.
What?
Yeah, when you read it,
LeVar Burton.
When you read his quotes about when he was drafted by the crew.
Wait, let's talk about reading the rainbow. For
Saggy.
Minutes.
Yeah, Saggy Livari,
Burton.
I'm gonna give him. I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt on these quotes. See, I thought these were really smart quotes.
No, I listened to it.
Mm-hmm. He said on the crew website, it is actually quoted. Let me see if I can.
He said evaporation causes
cooling.
It was
Andrew King.
True.
Andrew King wrote this. Said Livari.
Justin goes through his spam right now.
No, Livari said that he always expected to go to Columbus. He thinks the club gives him the best chance to make it in MLS. And he said, "I know a lot about the team. I know they possess the ball and they're a really good team. I think I'm going to be very good in the system. If they possess the ball and give me some opportunities, hopefully I can score some goals." I think that he's telling the truth there, and I think that one of the things that we talked about. If you listen to the podcast 2 years back, one of the things that I complained about was that the coaching staff at the time was not making Columbus and the team appealing to international players, to players who are of a national team caliber.
Domestic players?
Players who have 2 feet.
Rec league players.
Living players.
Players with shirts.
Players who wear clothes. And,
players that have hair
and deceased players.
T-shirts.
Other than that, I think we had
the women's national team who couldn't even play them.
Any gender.
Yeah. It was.
But seriously, Air Bud, I think this is.
Air Bud had no interest in coming here.
But this is. I think this is a fact. I think that what players now see is an appealing style of play. They see that they can be coached. And be developed.
Jonathan Brandis.
You know who wanted to come here 2 years ago?
From Ladybugs?
Paul Gascoigne wanted to come here 2 years ago because 2 years ago, Paul Gascoigne was so ahead of his time that he knew that Land Grant Brewing was going to open up and they were going to have really, really great beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
That's a great...
And tie we have here. Just recognized the point where the Massive Report has sold out. Ladies and gentlemen.
Pay me, bitches!
It is now half past selling out.
You know who I heard enjoyed Land Grant Brewery? Jonathan Brandis of Ladybugs fame. I saw him there the other night. He was looking great. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Get down and hang out with Jonathan Brandis. I think he's dead. He's dead. Don't go there. They have dead bodies.
We'll be back in a couple minutes after we sell out some more and do some commercials. And then we're going to talk about stuff. Maybe
soccer stuff.
We have a new Argentine.
We do. We do have a new Argentinian player. We'll talk about that. And Jim's jumping up and down like a little girl.
You say Argentine player and he gets happy.
Yes, yes.
You're right. We'll be back in a couple seconds. It's the Massive Report. This portion of the Massive Report is brought to you by Land Grant Brewing. Make sure you check out their website at landgrantbrewing.com. They're located in Franklinton, and you should check them out because they're pretty awesome. Our Kickstarter party is going to be there a week from Wednesday. Good opportunity to grab a few of their beers and check it out. Like I said in the last segment, definitely recommend the Greenskeeper. Huge fan of that.
It sounds great, Matt. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'll be having one or five of them.
Yes, yes. You should have five of them.
Sounds good.
That's my recommendation as your attorney, to have five of them.
Land Grant Brewery.
You're better for Ebola.
Yes.
More after this.
Yes. Also, this portion of the Massive Report is brought to you by Bell Sports One and Morgan Hughes' weird, creepy face. And
this portion of the Massive Report brought to you by
TeeplesCore.com. Bach Attorneys at Law.
Yes.
That's not a thing.
And the Black Rabbit Faction. All things that have been presenting the show.
We have a lot of sponsors.
We do have a lot of sponsors.
This portion of the Massive Report brought to you by all the inside jokes that we know.
You know a way to get into
fuck up! And we're back. Segment 3 of the Massive Reports. Myself, Matt Goschert, joined by Justin Bell, Morgan Hughes, and Jim Bach. Gentlemen.
Hello, Matt.
We're halfway through our inaugural episode of 2015, and it's been too long, so let's bag on Toronto FC for a little bit. More news coming out.
Can I just first say that Toronto's Canadian, so they suck?
Yes, that is a true statement.
So they're Canadian, they suck. They have four DPs.
I like Canadians.
Yep.
I like Tim Hortons.
I like their whole country.
I think that Morgan is not my friend.
Hey, they give health care to their
citizens. I'm not your friend, buddy.
Buddy.
So let's see. So let us count them. They have Josie Altidore as a DP, which is that's sort of like saying, oh God, that's sort of like no, I can't even go there.
They have four.
They have four DPs. They have Josie Altidore. They have. Michael Bradley. Mm-hmm. They have Gilberto, but not Gilberto Silva, because we established that Gilberto Silva is like probably 60. Older than me. Yeah. And then they have this Italian guy, Jovenko, they got from Juve.
Right.
Because breaking into the Juve midfield is really hard if you're not like supernatural or older than Pirlo.
Right.
Yes.
Which is funny because they pretty much slaughtered Hellas Verona yesterday.
Oh my God, all of this crappy non-American soccer talk is killing me.
But it's funny, you think that...
This blah 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 team plays in FC Plibble.
Schmibble was liberated by the American GIs in 1944, by the way.
There's a reason that the team names sound like someone throwing up.
You know my favorite thing about Juventus? You know my favorite thing about Juventus? Is that literally... Their team name means young men.
Yeah.
And their nickname is the old lady.
Yeah. Strange enough. It's almost like they're evil. No, look, I...
One of their co-owners is Gaddafi's kid.
I would rather get with an old lady than talk about this for one more.
We're going to
but sorry. The thing is,
there are websites for that.
But Justin and I are taking over the podcast, and we're going to talk about Serie A for the next.
Did you? Did Giovinco signing?
Really
is a really
signing.
Impressive signing.
Yeah, it really is. They're now they're paying him what, $7 million a
I
year?
Saw Six eight
ish.
I saw yep. $8 million for 5 years, which is bigger than Beckham. That's a bigger contract than Beckham. That's insane.
How could this go wrong?
Yeah. Look,
I mean, it's Toronto.
Okay, there's
that
a lot of
exactly.
things.
You know how
it, that's how it is going to go wrong.
You know, the only thing that would be worse would be if Red Bulls bought him.
I mean, for him, it pretty much is the worst to go to Toronto.
I mean, this is a really interesting thing that's happening right now. I mean, I think the fact that all these things are happening within weeks, a matter of, 3 weeks of the CBA negotiations deadline, is astonishing.
Well, that fourth designated player being on the books kind of gives, tips the hat to what we may be seeing coming out of the CBA.
They expect something big to change.
So I have a question.
But it's not like they haven't done it before.
This is a literal question. It's not like a loaded question. Has a Major League Soccer team, what's the best a Major League Soccer team has done in the CONCACAF Champions League?
DC United won it. Not Champions League.
LA won it.
Oh, excuse me. You're okay, right. DC United went to the final.
Right.
Okay. LA won it.
But that was before
it was when it was Champions Cup. Yeah, it wasn't right. Champions
so
League.
So
yes.
In the last.
But in the modern era, so to speak.
In the era
RSL.
In which the logo for the tournament doesn't exist on an Originals t-shirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is really sort of an elaborate backhanded way of saying that these teams are actually going to have to pony up and play. They're gonna have to play better than the Mexicans before this actually means something internationally.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
That's a big thing.
And
is it a bloody big deal?
It's a bloody big deal.
Are we including Toronto and American teams in CONCACAF,
by
the way? Okay.
Well,
no, we're
Major
not.
League Soccer. All right.
Major League Soccer teams. Yes.
Let's rewind this a little bit, because I think you're
back
getting...
Back to the draft.
No, no, no.
How did Toronto draft? Did
it? No, we're going to talk
actually,
about...
Actually, Toronto did okay in the draft.
Yeah, they drafted Jozy Altidore. You should have thought of that.
I think Justin has picked up the point, is that Major League Soccer needs some sort of credibility worldwide other than the place that Frank Lampard doesn't go to retire.
Well, okay, I think what Major League Soccer is doing right now is becoming the place where people can go, and if you're marketable, you can be overpaid by a substantial amount.
His new contract is 700% greater. Yeah.
It's nuts.
Giovinco?
Look,
yeah.
I mean, if
yeah.
you are...
700%.
One of the things that MLS, the FO, the main office, the home office in New York, prides itself at doing is being business savvy. They are overpaying these players in a way that is obscene. I mean, Jozy Altidore was getting paid $2.2 million from Sunderland. From what I've seen, I think it's going to be a factor of like, it's multiply that by three.
Yeah.
I mean, this is crazy.
Well, Americans have got a lot of money. And
yeah, but I think this is an effect of. Again, single entity. And I think that what happens is MLS is doing this, and this is where we get into some strange territory, is that they are doing this in a way that makes it impossible for a player of value, of international scope and value, to play for a team like Salt Lake or Columbus. And this is why, there's another reason why I feel that single entity is just a hindrance to us. It's a hindrance to the sport. Because what they're doing is, it's almost as though you are pricing yourself out of
the market you the actually market, live in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's wrong on a very fundamental level.
Toronto, Seattle, New York, and LA. And
right.
The point
needs to be made that the absurdity of these contracts is not in somebody being paid a lot of money. Because... Your output is worth whatever somebody is going to pay
right.
you
right.
Yeah.
for.
the absurdity is in comparison to people making $37,000 a year that are starting alongside of you.
That is definitely
that is
part
where
of
the obsceneness comes from.
Yeah.
Well, so there's two parts to it. One is there's the international market where these players are being a player like Giovinco, for instance, is theoretically
he was going to get a 700% increase in his pay somewhere, right?
Right. Well, there's a competition around the world for this player. This
somebody's going to buy him in Spain or England or wherever.
Somebody's going to buy him. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
and so there's that aspect of it where like they're completely blowing that up. They're not. They're saying that Jose Altidore should probably be playing better soccer in a
Are you saying
soccer.
That Jose Altidore should be playing better soccer than
he
is?
Probably. But he should be playing in a league where better soccer is...
Go out on a limb there, Justin.
Well, no, he should be playing in a league where there's better soccer being played. Like, for instance, Ligue 1. He should probably be playing in France, or he should probably be playing in Germany. But those players, those leagues where better soccer is being played will not pay him the amount that MLS will pay him
because
of
your
marketable.
Sucks. He's a terrible forward. You know what? I'm going to repeat what I said on Twitter. Saying that Jose Altidore is a poor man's Emil Heskey is an insult to poor people everywhere. Jose Altidore is terrible.
I agree. Okay. He's not as good as he should be, but this is the problem. Like really great service.
The only thing that Jose Altidore has for him is that he's an American, and Americans really, really like soccer right now.
And which is why he's playing in Canada.
Yeah, which is why.
yes. Okay.
So what happens is I think he has the potential to get on a level where he can be an important player on the U.S. men's national team. And the only way he can do that, however, is by playing with better players.
How old is he?
He's already an important player for the national team.
I thought he was like 70 or something.
No, he's already an important player, but we need to realize that he's an important player because of the lack of an actually important player.
Yeah.
Like Josie's already
a
linchpin of that.
Josie is 25,
which is bad.
Josie just turned 25.
Wow. Okay. I had no idea.
If we go back to the World Cup, when he was injured,
So Charlie Davies was no longer an issue.
The fact that he was, if we go before the World Cup, and like when we were talking our preview, the Master Report preview for the World Cup, one of the things I said was that there's two players who needed to have a very good World Cup for the U.S. to make, say, the semifinals. And that was Michael Bradley, who did not have a very good World Cup, and Jose Altidore, who was hurt right off the bat.
I blame Toronto FC for both of those. Even though he wasn't playing for Toronto.
But see, one of the things is, like, we don't have another striker. We don't have another world-class striker. And so I think you're right, Morgan, is the fact that he is of that profile is the fact that he is basically
why it's so crucial for him to not play for Toronto.
For Toronto, right.
Well, but the thing is, I'm trying to imagine the U.S. national team in the World Cup with Jose Altidore.
Yeah.
And I'm just imagining people running uphill with glue on the bottoms of their feet. Because that's...
happens all the time.
One of the things about Jose, though, that I think is he was picked up by Sunderland by... Who was the coach before? I can't remember.
Frank Stallone.
I can't remember who was
Roy Keane.
Okay, but he was picked up before What's-His-Face from Uruguay showed up there and completely was an insane...
Wait, are you talking about the fascist from Italy?
Yeah, the fascist.
Paul DeCanio.
Yeah. He was brought in by DeCanio.
Is there an app you can download that just filters out all of the Italian South American bullshit that we've been talking about all night? It is just so awful.
He was brought in.
It's not one thing that we have to talk about Toronto FC for an entire segment. We have to have like these interjected Spanish Italian words. We're just like, what are you talking about, Justin? Jim, what did you just say? Was that a sneeze or was that a player's name? No one can be sure. No one can be sure. I'm going to research it on the internet all night, and I still won't be sure.
I love the fact, though, that we're talking about this, and it's like, oh, the fascist guy.
Oh, yes, yeah. The fascist from...
here's the thing. The only other person in this conversation who matters, Justin, understood exactly what I was talking about. Paul Nathaniel, fascist played for Lazio, and then played for West Ham.
Right.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Who actually is a pretty decent soccer player.
He's a really...
But, like,
he's now a dictator of a small South American country. No.
But he brought in Josie because he knew that
Josie
was...
I'm going to kill myself if we don't talk about Steve Clark soon. I'm going to kill myself.
No. Look, I will roll this back into Steve Clark.
American player.
I promise you I will roll it.
America. Go Columbus. Let's talk about Columbus things.
If you give me 45 seconds, I will roll this back into Steve Clark.
Give me an hour and a half.
Okay, so... DiCanio brought in Josie because he knew Josie was a good hold-up striker. He had potential to be a good hold-up striker. I think what Pereira did was he thought Josie was someone who could win balls in the air, for instance. That's not Josie's game. He's a very ground game. And he needs very good service, and he needs it.
He needs it on a point. He needs, like, perfect passes.
Yeah, he really does. That is so true. He needs the most perfect passes you can get. Sunderland is not that
Justin
team.
Is describing me only wider and skinnier.
Listen, his game's just, you know, they're not being a goalie. Maybe
just,
the goalie's legs fell.
I need to roll this back to Steve Clark, and I'm going to.
I might score a goal.
Oh, thank Christ.
So I'm going to roll this back to Steve Clark. So this is what... So he did not pay off in Sunderland because of the change.
Yeah.
And so they bring him back to Toronto. And now Toronto sees, okay, we've got Josie out the door because he's going to sell tickets and he's going to get eyes on television. That's what MLS is looking at.
I love the fact that Josie out the door is going to sell tickets to Canadians.
Well, and no, he's going to, this is the most important thing in MLS is eyes on television.
The bloody big deal.
Eyes on television is by far and away the most important thing.
It's the bloodiest big deal.
And Toronto has basically their own national television network, TSN.
Yeah.
And so what they need is they need a team that not only plays well but makes the playoffs. And so what happens is they go and they get a player like Altidore. They have a player like Bradley in their midfield. They have Gilberto, who's also going to be a striker. And they go and they get Jovinko, who's the guy who's going to be able to deliver passes to Altidore on a dime. But what they don't have is a defense. And so when the Crew go and sign a player like we're going to talk about hopefully soon, the new guy from Argentina, they sign a player who could legitimately be signed by Toronto. And we'll talk about this in a little bit. The Crew are thinking as a whole, we're going to build a team that's going to be able to compete on MLS. And so, on an MLS level. And one of the reasons why we can is because of a player like Steve Clark. Or the guys that we've got playing, they're building a defense.
This is a song I've always thought about drowning myself to, which is why I'm playing it right now.
We're building a defense basically to counter Altidore and Gilberto and Jovinko. And so, even though a team like Toronto can go out...
Everything you're saying makes sense, except when you get to the point where you're saying that Major League Soccer is actually broadcast on television. Because I live in Columbus. So,
okay,
they actually play MLS on television?
We're talking about an actual, like, the actual competition on the field.
Yeah.
What we've got is a situation where Toronto is paying...
An insane amount of money
to these players.
More money than perhaps we've ever paid all of our players combined.
Yeah, yeah, to win television eyes, not to win soccer games, not to play good soccer, but to win television eyes. And so this is the danger of all of this.
Many people who watch Major League Soccer on television. Period.
That's MLS's point, is to get television eyes, and this is the danger. This is the danger. Is that what's going to happen is the Columbus Crew are building a team that's going to counter that very, very well by spending a fraction of that money.
Yep.
And unless Toronto wins and makes the playoffs, all of this is going to blow up.
Everybody makes the playoffs.
But so what's going to happen? What's going to happen is we're in a lot of trouble because if it's going to get to a point where the league is going to make sure that a team like Toronto makes the playoffs and does well.
Why do you think they opened it up to 12 teams this year?
But is Toronto going to make the playoffs out of that 12 teams?
Well, probably.
No. Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, by the way, I wanted to bring this up just as a thing. Two things. Josie Altidore, how many goals did he score at Sunderland?
14.
One.
One?
One, in, one 40. Goal in 42 appearances.
Right.
42 appearances, he scored one goal.
But if I were to say how many he's going to score in MLS this year, I'd say it's 15. I think he is going to be one of the feature players in the
league. That's how many goals he scored in 3 years at Red Bull.
How many goals did Jermaine Defoe score last year at Toronto? 11?
A lot. Right?
Yeah. He had 19 assists, I believe, though. I mean, Jermaine Defoe is a
Jermaine Defoe is Jermaine Defoe is a guy who scored 5 goals in a single match.
Yeah, guys, we're talking about the perennial preseason champions of MLS right now. We're talking about Toronto FC, and they still haven't got. It will never get through their skull, as far as I'm concerned, that you just can't pay $22 million and win the league.
Unless you're
eventually
LA.
That's going to happen.
Unless you're LA, then you really? Can't.
But, you know, LA's got Bruce Arena as a coach.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. Toronto has whoever won the season ticket lottery this week as coach. So those are two completely different things. And that's the other thing. Toronto is on their 9th coach.
In 8 years.
In 8 years.
Right? 8.
Yeah.
Might as well be Calgary.
Yeah, they came in 2007.
Yeah, 2007.
8 seasons.
Eight seasons, more coaches.
It's all about Serie A, because Serie A
yes.
is the best.
I'm not even listening to your stupid language anymore.
Well, if we talk also about... One of the things we talked about in the podcast last week, which no one will ever get to hear, was how the crew basically...
Available on bootleg from...
No, it's available on Bell Sports 1.
It's called...
it's actually being rerun right now on Time Warner Sportsnet.
We're going to call it Massive Report X-Files. It may or may not be a snuff film. We don't know.
It's on ONN.
But it totally was a snuff film.
But the crew...
My soul died that night.
The crew are in a... The crew made the 3rd spot in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Now, if you do not think that just grates on the nerves... of the Major League Soccer office, like corporate office.
Just say Don Garber.
Don Garber. Must hate that.
Yeah.
And so we are now in a spot where, look, I think that the crew, in order to make this season a success, needs to at least be 3rd or higher in the playoff rank. I would say the top 2. Now, one thing you might not be able to hear is that Sam Fahmy last week predicted that the crew were going to win the Supporters' Shield.
Yeah.
I don't think that's far off. I really don't.
We've got a good team.
They're going to murder each other.
Yeah.
Houston's going out there. The Wizards are going out there.
Right.
The Sporting Kansas City Wizards.
Yeah.
Are going out there. Those, you know, we have 2 expansion teams. As much as we, you know, the league has been dumping every available cent into Orlando City and New York City Football Club. I mean, these are 2 brand new teams.
Yeah.
We're going to win the entire league.
It's really a possibility.
No, it's a fact. I've seen it. I am that drunk.
We have 2 Canadian teams in our division.
Right.
Right?
Neither
one of them has Toronto, which is a perennial dumpster fire. We have Montreal that could potentially do well down the line, but
they were
horrible last year. And what the hell have they done in the offseason?
We've seen them in the postseason devolve into, you know, just like... subhuman primates that scratch at like other soccer players' eye sockets and like claw them in the genitals.
So that's what they do.
Yes. Yeah.
So Genital Claws FC.
Yeah. So DC United fans. So we have DC United, who may or may not have rabid squirrels roving on the field.
That team was such an aberration last year. They brought in a lot of old players that. Since the end of last season, have broken hips.
Yeah.
I've watched it.
You know, their big pickup this year is Ira Arrieta.
Yeah.
Which is so great.
What is going to be the response to Ira Arrieta when he comes back to Crew Stadium?
Who could
he
possibly
played very hard?
Bad to say about Ira.
So loud the first time he's called offside.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much it. I mean, laugh when he's offside again, but other than that, you know,
applaud the dude. He's welcomed.
Yeah, no, applaud the dude. I don't see any reason why you shouldn't. I mean, it's not like he didn't demand a trade. He didn't, you know, go out there and whatever.
He tried.
One of my favorite moments as a Crew fan, weirdly enough, was last season's U.S. Open Cup game at Akron when Arrieta put that goal against Indy. Yeah. In you know, like what was it, like quadruple overtime, yeah. whatever the you know soccer version of that is.
It was 17 overtimes
yeah,
in that
17
game.
Yeah, 17
overtimes. It was
overtime.
Well past the Indianapolis fans at bedtime.
Yeah, it was. It was, because they were all 10.
5 o'clock p.m. was past their bedtime.
Yeah.
You're all terrible humans. Somebody tried to fight me because I was carrying a flag and standing there saying, get this guy, with, I'll kill him. Like, your team is 5 minutes old. How are you possibly this upset?
Well, probably because they spend a lot of summers in England learning how to capo.
So, like, a real quick, let's do a quick look around the East. If we,
yeah,
okay,
let's do
so
that.
We talked about Montreal. They really haven't done much to,
yeah.
to improve.
Toronto,
and they are
New
playing
England.
In the Champions League, by the way.
Yeah.
Champions
New
what?
England.
They advance.
No, they,
yeah. They're in the next round of the Champions League.
I know. I would just like to say champions of what?
Oh.
Yeah, because
what?
They didn't win anything.
So there's that.
They're the number one seed in the East. That's how you get in now, right? It's the number one
Montreal.
Seed.
Montreal.
Oh.
No, they won the...
They were the top
Canadian team
in MLS.
There wasn't even
and
a Voyagers Cup.
They didn't make the playoffs.
No, they won more games in
so
CONCACAF last year than they did in MLS, didn't they?
Oh, no, I know. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that all you have to do is be the best team in Canada in
yeah.
MLS. There's three teams. They didn't make the playoffs.
Which really... Look, if you want to... Let's say you're a conspiracy theorist.
Let's say
that you are. Why do you think that Josie Altidore lands in Canada? This is another huge, enormous benefit to him coming in there. It's that it doesn't take a whole hell of a lot for Toronto to make the Champions League.
Yeah.
It's like what you were talking about earlier, Matt. Is
oh,
that
my God.
That a team playing...
Just tell us how it involves Syria. Just get it over with.
Never mind.
It's got something to do with Giuseppe Bernoulli.
Okay,
so whip around the division.
No. DC United also hasn't done a whole hell of a lot.
No.
New England.
New England. Everyone's kind of looking at them as going to be automatic repeat champions of the East.
I don't see that either.
Red Bull is
a
mess.
Dumpster fire right
yeah.
now.
Greg
yeah.
Benson's friend Tim Cahill might not even be playing on that team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Greg Benson told me that.
NYCFC is just a...
They do have Mix.
They
do have...
Josh Williams.
His hair.
They do have Lampard coming in.
They have Josh Williams.
And they do have David Villa, who's
yeah.
okay, I guess.
And you do have to run over the pitcher's mound
yeah.
at about
okay.
three quarters
so,
up the field.
I think
so,
NYC
okay,
is going
to so
be
just
a cluster.
Whip around.
A cluster
who's going to win the East?
I think... I got to...
Hang on, we haven't talked... There's teams we haven't talked about yet.
I think we have a very...
No, we
very
haven't talked about Chicago.
Yeah, I know.
Chicago?
Fuck Chicago.
That's really the only
There's
thing
the
I was
first
waiting
effort.
For there. Yeah, but...
Give us 5 seconds to edit that out. Three, two.
Chicago, I haven't... I don't really know much what they've done, to be honest.
Yeah.
They picked up Eric Gehry. They got a kid who started crying, a pollster who started crying when he was drafted by Chicago. They said that
was...
he
upset?
They said those were tears of joy, but I have to wonder...
I'm gonna have to recite Walt Whitman. Oh God, no!
Orlando City, I think might be better than people think.
Bad.
Yeah,
bad.
Bad. Been very smart.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, I think might be better than people think.
Bad. Yeah. Connor Casey, fat. Fat, bald, old white man.
Hey.
You're not
Nor
fat
Connor
anymore.
Casey.
Jim, you're not fat anymore. You haven't been fat in a long time.
It's true.
Also, yeah. Jim, you're not
SKC
Connor Casey.
And Houston have both left, and they're
yeah.
both in the West. I think we've got a very, very good chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true.
There's one team left that we haven't discussed.
Go for it.
Team from the capital city of a state I call Ohio. Here they got 11 men.
True.
11 Warriors, brave and bold. No,
so is this time we're going to talk about our new guy from Argentina?
Well, we're going to take a break.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because this segment's like 7.5 hours long. And
too much verbal Italian diarrhea in this segment. We couldn't talk about the crew.
And then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about our Argentinian pickup. We'll talk about our thoughts for the crew for this season before we even enter the preseason, because that is where all the money is.
Whoop, whoop.
It's the Massive Reports. We'll be back in a couple. All right, this segment of the Massive Report, once again brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company. Thank you very much for being our title sponsor this year, Land Grant Brewing Company. They're in Franklinton. Check them out at landgrantbrewing.com and enjoy their awesome beers.
Give them a call, 1-800-LAND-GRANT-BREWERY.
That's not their number.
It is not. Don't do that. Just go there. Stop using your phone, idiot. I'm really good. I'm so good at this.
You're really good at commercials.
Yeah. Hey, listeners, you stupid idiots. Do this thing. I don't know. God, I'm drunk.
And we're back in segment four of the Massive Report as we try to put this first official show of 2015 to bed. Thank you very much to everyone who donated.
I would like to make a point.
Oh, okay.
Podcasts do not go to bed. They are not real things that need sleep. This is a fact, and I would like this to stop.
I'd like to make a point. Justin Bell just broke his own glasses, so can we really trust anything he's saying right now? You be the judge. Yeah. And I'll tell you how to judge it. No, you cannot trust him.
Are you an anti-sightist?
I hate
eyes. You're so anti-blindist.
Get your eyes out of my face. What are we talking about?
We're talking about the Argentinian guy that we signed. And to figure all that out, we're going to go to our senior Argentinian footballer expert, Justin Bell. Justin, let's break this one down.
I can talk about Argentina.
This is a real interesting one. This kind of came out of nowhere, I think. Like,
But we haven't signed him yet. What are we even doing
right now?
Well,
I think we are. I think this is
pretty much we have.
Yeah, it's going to happen here.
According to what?
Well, Adam Jardy's reporting it's true. No, last night we started talking about it on Twitter, of all things, because that's where all things MLS happen.
Yeah.
That's where Toronto's won most of their championships.
Yeah. Patrick Golden... sort of broke the story in a weird sort of way. It was mentioned
in English.
Yeah, it was mentioned a few places in the Argentine press. Not huge places, but you know, just kind of being bandied about on Argentina Twitter. that's a real place.
You're talking about Leonardo Gabes. That's who you're talking about, who reported it from Argentina.
Really?
Yeah, we don't even know what that means in English.
Oh. And is that the tweet that had like the question mark exclamation point was like, what? This is really happening?
No.
This just says El Defensor Hernan Grana Continuara Su Carrera en el Columbus Crew SC de la MLS.
I don't think that needs translation at all.
Yeah.
But it's, no,
mostly because that wasn't a language and you can't translate
it's
it.
It's just like English.
But I think he's...
I love the fact the hashtags are in English, by the way.
Hashtag.
Yeah. Hashtag all boys.
Yeah. You know, the thing...
It means something different this year in crew season, all boys. The hashtag all boys.
It's strange because I think that...
I'm going to let that one go.
This signing makes a lot of sense, but when I first heard about it, it didn't. I was like, because he... was kind of, I think he was going to cost a little bit more than what I expected him to. But when you look at it, All Boys is being relegated in a sort of Argentina is in a weird spot right now where there are 30 teams in their Primera League, Primera Division, which is unheard of, and the people in Argentina are not happy about it because usually like everywhere else there's 20.
Yeah.
But still, one of the teams that's being relegated is All Boys.
Yeah.
And he was on loan from them to Boca.
Mm-hmm.
He did not play particularly well for Boca Juniors. It's funny, I don't recall... I watched a few Boca games this past year, and I don't really remember him standing out. But I do remember him playing more of an advanced role than right back. Which fits in with what Berhalter wants to do, is getting his fullbacks forward.
Yeah.
So, if the crew can get him for a bargain,
mm-hmm.
which might be the case, since I reached out to one of the hosts of one of the podcasts that I listen to quite a bit, Hand of Pod Podcast.
Yeah.
Which is probably the only English language Argentine podcast that's out there, and I highly recommend it, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Name dropper.
Yeah. I reached out to them today, and
this
I asked...
This segment of the Massive Report brought to you by whatever Justin just said.
I reached out to Tom Argentina yesterday, and he told me that this guy he does play soccer, so we have confirmed that.
Yes. No, related to Emily Argentina, friend of the show.
But I,
there are no friends of this stupid show.
We have no friends. But I did. I reached out to Sam Kelly and I asked him if he'd heard anything about it, and he said no. And probably one of the reasons is because All Boys is being relegated, and so they're not one of the top. They're not Boca. Everyone talks about Boca. Everyone talks about River Plate. Rossing won the league, so they talk about them. But All Boys.
I heard
are not.
Jonathan Brandis plays for All Boys. Boys.
He's dead.
No. we'll look into it. Back to the topic.
But one of the things is they're definitely in financial straits.
Yeah.
And so if they can sell a player for less money than what he's worth,
yeah,
then this might be a good opportunity to.
Has there been any talk of what the actual transfer fee contract, anything?
If you look at transfermarket.com, it says it's 500,000 euros, which transfermarket.com
is like $5?
Yeah.
It's actually $7.50 and a double cheeseburger at Wendy's.
How many millimeters?
I think a euro is worth more than a dollar now, isn't it?
Shut up, Justin. The dollar is worth more than everything combined.
Have you guys ever gotten like a Canadian quarter and change and you're like, what?
But you can't take transfer market.
Okay.
You really can't. You can't trust it. So I think what he was sold the last time was about $300,000, if I'm right. Which is still a lot of money. If the Crew are paying that much, it's sort of... I would be surprised if they're paying that much.
Yeah.
There might be a lot of incentives on the contract, you know, if he plays about this amount of time.
What I've read is that it's a one-year contract with a two-year option.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of... Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different. So maybe they're, you know, just going to see how he does. But he's a smallish... Right back, who has played right midfield for Boca.
Yeah.
And he didn't do very well. He was not great for Boca. That does not mean that he won't do well for an MLS.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, Argentine players come here and do well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Name one.
Josie Altidore.
Hey! Tying it back. We're out of time. This whole thing together.
Santiago Prim.
Dilly Duca.
Yeah.
But again, I think this is an opportunity where the Crew...
It's New Jersey.
Yeah, it's not Argentina.
I'm sorry.
This is an opportunity... this is an example of where the Crew are sort of striking where they can.
Yeah.
And getting depth at a spot. And I don't know. Maybe it might pay off. But here we have another Argentine player. And
they did say in that article that he was given, you know, the seal of approval from Guillermo when he talked to him.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I know about it,
and it's true.
I think, honestly, I think that is something that they say.
They have said that literally every
because
time.
Because it's easy to say, yeah, and it's...
Rumors are Crew looking at a Chinese fullback...
Guillermo says he's awesome.
Yeah, Guillermo called China and said, "Tell this guy that they're great."
Here's my
Guillermo feeling. And I were hanging out the other night, and he says to me, "He goes, I like Easton."
Yeah,
that was it.
Yeah, I honestly don't think Guillermo really gives us too much thought.
He's got his store thing made going. Of Legos.
Yeah,
your human mind cannot grasp.
Yeah. Look, if you can get out of Argentina and you can get a decent salary,
yeah,
MLS is a good place for you to go.
Yeah,
I mean, unless you're kicking ass in Argentina playing soccer, there's no reason why
Argentina
you should stick
Argentina soccer
around.
Ball league.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's really no reason for you to stick around.
Yeah.
Well, the Argentinian top league, El Ligo, that's actually one of the better soccer leagues in Argentina. So
it's one of the top two.
Yeah, La Liga is also very competitive.
I watched La Liga at Land Grant Brewing Company.
I watched Land Grant Brewing Company soccer games between All Boys and some boys. They're crosstown rivals.
Okay, I'm starting a. I want to take this moment.
Some of the boys
to announce that I am starting a soccer team. Called Some Boys.
Some Boys.
Columbus Some Boys.
Who's All Boys playing tonight?
Some Boys.
Some Boys. Well, I'm sold.
A few boys.
Where do you get a ticket? from the boys that are left over. They put them in the ticket.
Leftover boys.
Leftover boys. The boys. A ragtag bunch of ticket salesmen.
The boys who couldn't cut it on the first two teams. All right, let's just end this
are
now.
Are we going to predict who's going to win the championship?
We should, every podcast, we should predict who's going to win at the end of it.
I think so.
All right, Morgan, you first.
What championship? All boys versus some boys?
All boys versus some boys.
In Liga 1.
Yeah.
The fierce promotion relegation battle between Liga 1 power, all boys, and La Liga 01, some boys, is going to be down to the last. They're going to be, the overtime is going to happen. Well, what's going to, they're going to go to penalty kicks. And Stern John versus Tony Miola.
Sterno Jono.
And then the Columbus Crew will win SC Major League Cup. Thank you.
Justin.
What Morgan said.
I predict this podcast is going to crap, and I'm going to put a fork in it right now.
I predict that you won't even post this, because that's your thing now.
Yeah.
We just put gold on record. Are we recording this on records, Molly?
Yes.
We put gold on records, and then you just... You just throw it down the internet toilet.
Stacks and stacks of wax. For everybody who participated tonight, we're just wrapping this up right now. Everybody who participated tonight, for Morgan Hughes, for the ghost of Morgan Hughes.
Columbus Crew are going to win the MLS Cup this year.
I'm very much still alive, so.
For Morgan Hughes' entire family.
I hate you, Mom.
For Jim Bach, for Justin Bell, Molly Thomas, who hit buttons a lot and interjected without a microphone on. For the Columbus Blue Jackets, who just went down 2-1. My name is Matt Goschert, and this has been the Massive Report.
Ron Tugnutt for president.